You can't read my printing. It says from the pulpit to the pew. Desire your prayers tonight. We look at some scripture. Consider God's word. I'd like to turn over to the fourth chapter of Mark. Read a parable of the Lord. It says in Mark 4 and 3, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. It came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear."
Amen.
I want to mention some things tonight about these modern days that we live in, these modern times. Modernization has changed a lot of way that people look at life, the way people look at eternity, the way people look at their souls in heaven and hell. Thought about warfare. In the beginning, seems like, from what I can understand, that they, when fighting became among the men, that they threw stones and rocks at one another. Eventually, they began to form weapons out of some wood. And they made bow and arrows. They made spears. They made all kinds of crude instruments in order to go out into warfare. But the time came to our modern day-to-day that we don't even have to send men out to fight a battle today. We can send a plane over and just drop a bomb. They can destroy a lot of people. That has changed the face and the way of the earth and the way that we do things today. Transportation. I suppose that Henry Ford would be shocked if he was to come out of his grave and see how that we get around today, and the Wright brothers. When we consider the automobiles that we have, we're not on horses anymore. We don't have to walk everywhere we go anymore. We have buses, we have airplanes, we have nice cars and vehicles to ride in. That's changed the way that we look at life. And to the point that, you know, you and I take those things for granted. We take it for granted. You know, we can read the stories about the old timers that whenever it was time to go to service, how they went in their wagons and their horses and all those kind of things and went many miles in inclement weather, and yet they had a desire, a desire to be there. But we are really blessed today. Because things have changed and made a lot easier for us. Mm-hmm. I think that might be some of our problem. Things are a lot easier for us today. Communication. Communication has changed greatly. There were times when things would happen on one side of this world, but it would take months for people to find out on the other side of the world. Now, for instance, the Japanese earthquake and tsunami, it didn't take but just a matter of minutes. And it was all over this country and probably all over the world. We've changed. Things have changed. The way that we look at life, the way that we handle life, the way that we think about things. Medicine. That's changed greatly, hasn't it? People back in the old days, the doctors used to ride around on the horses and go from house to house, and they had their little pill bags and things that they would tell them to take, and they had home remedies and they had all those kind of things. But it's gotten real sophisticated today, to where people can do what we heard about this evening. The brother got a kidney transplant. They can move organs from one body to another. It's remarkable what they can do with medicine today. And that changes the way that we look at the Word of God. It changes the way that we consider our souls. Morality. My, that has really changed, hasn't it? The moral of our country. The morals of our country. Those of us that are my age and older, we know there's been a big change in the morals of this country. There's been a big change on the dress. There's been a big change on what is accepted today as far as adultery. As far as the vices of gambling and smoking and drinking. I remember when I was younger, it was taboo for women to be doing those kind of things. But it's accepted today. And I think all these things that have happened in our modern time have something to do, has affected you and I. It's affected our mindset. It's affected our thoughts. It's affected the way that we consider our eternal souls. And that's what we're interested here tonight, is our eternal souls. Where Jesus said here about the seed that was sown, that's the Word of God that He was talking about.
Yes.
And folks, let me tell you tonight, no matter who you are, we all have a responsibility.
Yes.
To our own souls.
Yes.
We all have a responsibility when we sit under the sound of the gospel. When we sit under the sound of the gospel, we have a responsibility in how that we react to that.
That's right.
It seems to me that there's some things that are lost in the transformation from the pulpit or from where the Word of God goes forth out to the pew where the people are sitting.
Yeah.
God has designed His Holy Scriptures that it would, as the Scripture says, through the foolishness of preaching. And God designed it to be that way, that men would propagate the Word of God to those that would come and hear it. But folks, let me tell you tonight that you have a responsibility. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and it takes it out to each and every heart that will receive it. But if you have the choice to receive it or reject it. You have a choice to pick and choose. As some people are picky eaters, there are some people that are picky eaters when it comes to the Word of God. Whenever it crosses me, when it's something that I choose not to believe or something that I just don't feel like it's necessary to do, then I have the choice or the right to say, no, I don't want that kind of a thing. But folks, that is very dangerous. And therefore, we live in a world today at a time where we have all become independent thinkers. We think for ourselves. We don't need someone else to tell us what to do. We don't like to be told what to do. But we think for ourselves. And when it comes to the ministry of the gospel, I believe that most will agree that there has been a letdown, or as there is a lack of respect. I know there's a lack of respect for the ministry today as opposed to the time when I was a child growing up. We had great respect for the ministry. We knew that God revealed things to them. We knew they got on their face before God. They got the messages that God wanted His people to hear at that time. And we had great respect for them, but not only because of the messages they preached, but because of the life that they lived before us. Well, that's changed too. There's a lack of respect for the ministry today.
That's great.
Part of that has to do with the ministry in general in compromising some of the things that they have been taught. Some of the things that they understand to be truth. when we compromise. So, for instance, if I go out and I partake of something that is of the world, I have compromised my message to you. I have no authority to speak on that. I have no authority to tell you to live in such a way that I don't live. I've compromised the message. And that's a very dangerous thing. But nevertheless, we're dealing with that in the world that we live in today. There's a lot of suspicions today, isn't there? People are suspicious of one another. We hear a lot of things. You know, I know we heard some of it last night. Be careful about just the things that you hear. This generation is cursed to believe half-truths. I believe that. People will just take a little bit of something that sounds like good to them and believe half-truths and accept that and then go spread it around to others. Jesus said here that when the Word of God went forth, it fell on different ground, didn't it? One of them was stony ground. And it didn't have much earth. And because, you know, have you seen emotional people like that? Just at the heat of the moment or the time of the message or the service, and they got caught up in the sway of the service maybe, and they, the Lord was dealing with them, but they come down, maybe even get help to their souls, but they get no real depth. They didn't hit the rock. And when you didn't hit the rock, there's not much earth there. And then when the trials come and when the hard times come, they don't have what it takes to hold on today. We see people that are today that just seem like they're not consecrated. They're not to the place where when the hard times come that they're not able to hold on and go on with the Lord. That's what Jesus is saying here. He said, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Some fell among people's hearts that are so caught up with the cares of life and the things of this world that the Word of God cannot penetrate. The Word of God can find no depth in people's heart today. And they said some fell on the good ground. Thank the Lord that for those that their heart has been tilled, the earth has been tilled, and the Word of God, the seed, can find a place where it can grow down and take root. And there can be some development there. But you know, we live in a time of hard hearts.
Yes, that's right.
Hard hearts today. People don't want this. They just don't want it. Whenever I've seen folks that have tried to walk this way, and when they begin to see what it's going to take, the Calvary, as we heard sung about tonight, when they begin to see the cross that they are going to have to bear, they back up on the truth. They back up on the Word of God. You see, they're still responsible, but nevertheless, they're not willing to go that way. People's hearts out in the world today are hard, aren't they? It seems like it's very almost impossible for the Word of God to penetrate and find a depth in people's heart. People get in trouble. They're struggling out in the world. And you see them looking for every way out of trouble, every way they can seek and find except the Lord. Mm-hmm. Except giving their heart and lives to the Lord. Folks, I'm a prime example. When I was out in that world and the mess that I'd made out of my life, folks, I tried to do it right, but I struggled in my life. And when the Lord saved me, He delivered me and He changed my home. He changed my life. Right. He gave me all those things back. And that's what it's going to take for every one of us. Yeah. It's going to take that for every one of us. But the gospel is still being preached today, but the reception of it is not mixed with faith. Let's look at a scripture over here in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them. Who's them? It was Israel, wasn't it? But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard. You probably know, as I do, a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge of the Word of God. a lot of knowledge of the Bible. And I've had them tell me, you know, I know and understand a lot of things that you're talking about, but I can't live that kind of life. I marvel, and their words, I'm proud of you that you can live that way, but I can't live that way. That's too hard. It's too difficult. Folks, the Word of God won't benefit any one of us if it is not mixed with faith.
Yes.
We've got to believe, don't we?
Yes.
We've got to believe that this is true. We've got to believe that this is eternal. Jesus said, the words that I've spoken unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day. There ain't no preacher going to judge us. There ain't no individual going to judge us, but Jesus Christ. He's coming back. He came the first time as the Savior. Coming back again as the Judge, isn't He? And the words that He's spoken, the prophecies that He gave us in the book, the parables that He gave us in the book, the things that He told us. He said, talking about sinning, and that he that sinneth is of the devil, and those kind of things. And yet, people still say that I'm saved and going out there in the world and living that kind of a life. It can't be.
That's right.
It can't be. Something has happened here from when the Word goes forth out into the pew where the people are to receive it, folks. Let me tell you tonight, we've got to have confidence in God enough to know and recognize the Spirit. When the Spirit is putting His blessing and anointing upon the Word of God, folks, that's the time for us to take that Word, and that's the time for us to take it home with us and get alone before the Lord and seek God for the needs that I have in my soul. But there's too many people sometimes that says it's always for the other fellow.
Lord.
It's always for the other fellow.
Please.
Folks, I believe every one of us, as the song said, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Yes. Amen.
I'll admit I need prayer. I admit I need help. I'm not there yet. And I believe I'm to the perfection of a perfect love for God. I believe I have that perfect love for the Lord tonight. But folks, we are human. That's no excuse for sin, but we will make mistakes, won't we?
That's right.
We will make mistakes.
Yes.
Mistakes are not sin. Those things are not imputed us to sin if we haven't done it willfully. But folks, tonight, we're always saying, that's for the other fellow. They need help, but I'm okay. You know, when we have that kind of an attitude, we're not going to get anything.
That's right.
It's just falling on deaf ears. And Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Let him hear. We have a responsibility, don't we?
Yes.
To let him hear. Unto us the gospel was preached as well as it was unto them. But the word preached didn't profit them. There was no benefit today to them. Because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Think about the Jews. Now God had promised them. We have a lot of promises. We have over 7,000 promises in the Word of God. In the Bible. And God promised the children of Israel. He promised Abraham. But He said, through your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed. But He promised them the land of Canaan, didn't He?
Yeah.
He promised them that. And about three and a half days journey, they were able to make it over there to see Jordan and look across to the land of Canaan. And Moses sent out spies to go over there and look at that land. And they came back. There was 12 of them, wasn't there? And there was 10 of them that says, oh, that we can't take that land. There's giants over there. There's fenced cities over there. There's walled cities over there. And it's a wonderful place, and the pomegranates and the figs and the grapes and all those things, and all the, it's wonderful over there, but we can't take those giants over there in that land. Do you know that God promised them that land?
Yeah.
Folks, let me encourage you tonight. Whenever God calls you to some place in your life, when He calls you to an area in your life, folks, God promised you, if you put your foot down, He told Joshua, you, every place that you put your foot down, I'll give it to you.
Yes.
You see, they came back and they gave an evil report, except Joshua and Caleb. who said, oh, it's a wonderful place, and God, with God, we can take it. See, God said He would destroy their enemies. But it wasn't mixed, it wasn't mixed with faith. The congregation took the evil report, and they ran with it, and they wanted to go back to Egypt, and they wanted to get rid of Moses, and all these kind of things. It wasn't mixed with faith. They had a responsibility to believe, folks. We have a responsibility to believe also. But if we don't believe, what benefit? What benefit are we going to get out of the Word of God? Do you know there's people that can sit in the pews all their lives until it's mixed with faith, until that they grow in grace, not just the knowledge of God, but grow in the grace of God, and they'll never get a hold of it until it's mixed with faith. Any increase in any desire that we have, any growth that we have, any understanding in all these things then become lacking in our life. Do you know there's a lot of shallowness today? No real depth in a lot of people's hearts. What is the result of that? The result of that is a lack of fervent prayer. It's a lack of faith. It's a lack of power. There's looseness. There's drifting. There's weakness. There's a loss of vision. And eventually people backslide. They give it all up and go back out on the world. That's a dangerous thing, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
That's dangerous. But they were sitting under the gospel. They were being taught. How did that happen? Let's look over here at another scripture found in 1 Kings, the 12th chapter. Rather than do a whole lot of reading, 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, try to bring you up to speed with it. It's about Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And Rehoboam was the king over Israel. But yet Jeroboam had been promised part of that too. And it says here in the third verse of the 12th chapter, they sent and they called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam the king, saying, your father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke, which he put upon us, lighter, and we will serve thee. There was an argument, or there was an impasse there, who was going to be king over all of them. And he said unto them, depart ye yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men. Now you know, sometimes we can read something like this and maybe we can see ourselves a little bit. He consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto the people this day, and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you treat them, if you treat people nice, they're going to respect you. If you treat people in the right way, as a king here, they'll be happy. They'll be willing to serve you. Because they'll want to please you. Because you're considering them. You're considering their needs. But it said he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? Now he forsook the counsel of the old men, and he went to those that he grew up with. And the young men that were grown up with him, verse 10, said unto him, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but thou But make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. What an attitude. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So when they came back to get the answer, he gave them the answer of the young men. Why do you suppose that he took their advice? Because that's what he wanted to hear. That's what he wanted to hear, folks. And that's what happens in a setting like this. We pick and choose what we want. That's what I want to hear. Or if that's not what I want to hear, I shut it off and just tune you out.
That's right.
I asked someone one time that had sat under this gospel for a long, long time. And I knew the persuasion that they had and their beliefs. And I said, how can you sit under the gospel, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and hear the word of truth preached, and still take the stand that you take in what you believe? And their answer was, I take everything that I believe and I throw the rest of it out. Folks, there's people doing that today. I accept what I already believe, but I just throw the rest of it out because it doesn't fit with what else I believe. You know, God can't get any help to us that way. God cannot help us that way. The Word of God will have very little or no effect whenever we take that kind of an attitude or that kind of an approach to hearing the Word of God. It won't be beneficial to us. I think about the apostasy, and I won't go over and read it. The apostasy of Ahab, and how that he let his wife talk him into destroying the altars and the prophets and the temple and all those things, and build up idols and to her gods, to Baal and all those kind of things. But it came down to the place in Ahab's life where he called Jehoshaphat. He wanted to go out to war and asked him to be in league with him. And Jehoshaphat wanted to hear from the man of God. And the man of God told him, you go out there and you'll never come back. Well, he didn't want to hear that, see. He got the prophets of Baal. They told him, oh, you go out, you're going to prosper. That's what he wanted to hear. So he put God's prophet in a prison somewhere while he went out the back.
Oh, Lord.
Well, then we read the part in there, don't we? Where the spirits came before the Lord. The spirits came before the Lord, and the Lord said, who will go out and convince him? And this one spirit says, I will go out and I will convince him. I will be a lying spirit unto him.
Right.
Folks, when we step outside the will of God, when we step outside the order of the way that He deals with our hearts, under the, once again, the preaching of the Word of God, under the anointing or auspice of the Holy Ghost, and we want to be independent thinkers, and we want to believe what we want to believe, we are setting ourselves up for big time trouble.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Well, he went all right. He was a lying spirit unto him. But just like God's prophet said, he went out there to battle and he lost his life. He lost his life. Just like the prophet said. Sometimes, I remember Brother Herschel Hargrave. I think some of you folks might have met him down here. He preached a message one time on a minister being mules. Being mules. We carry a lot of burdens. We carry burdens for people's souls. We carry burden for the work of the Lord in general. We carry a burden for the cause of God. We're on our faces day and night sometimes, asking God to have mercy upon people. People that are not willing to take good counsel. Brother Austis Wilson, I don't know how many of you knew him or if you did know him. But he was a minister among us for many years, Sister Ann. And he said one time that he had he had many young people come to him and ask counsel whether they should marry a certain individual or not. And he said, you know what? Not one of those people ever took my counsel. Not one of them. And he was highly respected. He was a very intelligent man. And he had a great understanding and a handle on the Word of God. Not one of them took his counsel. We're independent thinkers today.
That's right.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it our way. You know, I believe I said the other night, we have a right to come in here and hear the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. And I know that's what you want. And that's what ought to be delivered here, and I believe it is. But folks, you have a responsibility to that. You have a responsibility to move to that. Now, I'm not trying to be hard here tonight at all.
Bless you.
But I'm saying that there's something happening from the pulpit to the pew. You know, I had someone call me one time and said, Brother Lee, you need to come over here. We need your help. They don't seem to be listening to this other individual. I said, what makes you think they're going to listen to me? It's not going to be any different. If people are in that kind of a mindset and have that kind of an attitude, they're not going to get it. They're just not going to get it. They're going to miss it, aren't they? They're going to miss it. We must accept, let me say it this way, we must accept the message of the gospel, wholly follow its concepts. That's the only way that we are going to find a deeper consecration, a deeper love, a deeper faith for God. We must do it that way. God is requiring that of us today. You know, Joshua and Caleb, it really didn't matter. It really didn't matter that they saw giants. It really didn't matter what they said. But nevertheless, they had an effect on the people, didn't they? They had an effect on the people. You know, we live in a time where we will quickly believe negative things over truth.
Yes.
All right now.
Yes. That's right.
Bad news travels faster than truth.
That's right.
We will quickly believe those kind of things today. Lord, help us. When it comes to our souls, folks, it's more important than that.
Yes.
It's much more important than that. The children of Israel didn't get any advantage from the word that Moses gave them, did they?
No.
It didn't do them any good. They rejected it. They despised it. And it cost them the promised land. There was what? Those that were over 20 years of age and upward, they roamed around out there for 40 years, and everyone died. Why? Because they didn't believe. It wasn't mixed with faith. We can get in a habit of coming to service and coming to service.
That's right.
Oh, Brother so-and-so is going to preach us a message and after service. That was really a good message. I remember one Sunday morning, the Lord had given me a very heavy burden at home. And I told him at the beginning of the message, I said, I'm not interested this morning, folks, in whether you find this to be a real good message. But I have a heavy burden on my heart and I'm interested in your souls. We're going to eternity. Things are looking pretty bad around us today.
Yes.
Things are looking pretty bad. You think God doesn't stir His ministers about that? You know, I'm not just interested in a message, folks. I'm interested in what God wants to say to His people now.
Amen.
I mean, we can probably all come up with a message or some thoughts. But what is your message now? He's the one that knows the future. He knows tomorrow. He knows whether you and I are going to be alive tomorrow or not.
Right.
He knows. God knows when He's sending His Son back. We don't know those things, folks. We need to hear from God. And when He speaks to us, we need to honor that and accept it and come to that.
Amen.
It needs to have some benefit
That's right.
to our hearts.
Yeah, it is slow.
the Word of God should have some influence over our hearts and lives. If it doesn't have influence, it's just like eating food. When we eat food, if the body does not break it down to the nutrients that's in that food, to the protein, and the vitamins and the minerals that's in that food, if the body doesn't assimilate that food and it just goes down there and lays in your stomach, you know what happens? It's going to make you sick. It's going to make you sick. And the same way with the Word of God. If the Word of God goes forth and it's not assimilated there and it's not broken down and you don't take it home and you don't pray and you don't seek God for what your need is, it's just going to sit there and it's not going to benefit you at all. It's going to make you weak.
Amen.
Eventually you'll be blind and won't even realize, well, I still know the truth. I still know what the Bible says, and I've known the saints all my life, so I'm still going on, but I'm sick now. And don't even realize it. You got to break it down, folks. Too many times we see the Word of God go forth. How many times do you go home? Is that just it? Or do you go home and pray over it? Generally, should be in a message something for everyone.
Yes.
There should be some food there for everyone.
Yes.
And we need to go home and we need to break it down and we need to assimilate that. And we need to work with that. Wherever the place God has spoken to our heart, we need to break it down.
Yes,
or it's not going to benefit coming from the pulpit to anyone.
That's right.
Yes. Unless you consider the Word of God, folks. Hey, just a good message, good preaching, that's a very small part of it. It's for the benefit of your soul, isn't it? It's to help you in your walk of life. Help you through this world. Oh, I tell you, at the end of such a life where one has not taken the Word of God seriously, they've not dealt with it personally, and let God deal with them personally, all that can really be said that the Word of God did not profit them. When they come down to the grave, they're laying in that casket, and the Word of God did not profit them. They didn't have any benefit on their final destiny. They left here, and they lost their souls. Because the Word wasn't mixed with faith.
Yes, Lord.
They couldn't agree to the Word. They wouldn't accept the Word of God. Oh, that's for some. Oh, I wish so-and-so would have been here tonight. Well, that's just what they need. You know, I've made myself vulnerable many times from place to place across the country. Lord dealt with me about something about a month or so ago with my wife. Something that I had felt like the Lord was dealing with me very deeply about the treatment of my wife years ago. We've been married over 41 years, and this was a long time ago. And the Lord dealt with me today, tomorrow, the next day, and I said, oh Lord, you know, I've asked my wife to forgive me about a lot of things. But He says, I want you to go to her and I want you to ask, tell her you're sorry for this one specific thing. And I want to tell you something. After 41 years, that was hard to do. But, well, Lord, it happened so long ago. I want you to go to your wife. Humble yourself. My wife came home one evening and I went to her. Was it easy? It wasn't easy. And I said, honey, remember when? She dropped her head. She said, yeah, I do. I said, I want to tell you, God's been dealing with my heart. I've already asked Him to forgive me. Will you please forgive me? She said, yes, I will. She said, I didn't like that. I said, I'm sure you didn't. And I just overwrote it. And went on. But I said, the Lord, He's still working on me, folks. He's still working on me. I've been to that altar a few times since I've been in the ministry. He's still working on me. But I tell you what, you know what I saw in her? I saw a big change in our relationship. It wasn't all that bad, but I saw something, a big change. It seemed like I felt more love come from her. It seemed like that she responded to my needs more. Seemed like she showed more caring.
Hello.
Lord knows what He's doing, folks. When the Lord speaks to your heart, when the Lord shows you something, you can't go along and say, "Oh, I've done everything right. I got everything perfect in my marriage, for instance. And I'm just doing everything that I'm supposed to do. All the liability falls on her or him." It doesn't work that way.
That's right.
It does not work that way. We have some responsibility in how we treat one another.
Yeah, that's true.
We have some responsibility in how we care for one another.
Yeah.
I said, "I'm sorry." She dropped her head. She said,
"Lord."
"Yes." She said, and I didn't like that. And I said, "I'm sure you didn't. But I mean it. I mean it. I'm really sorry. The Lord's really been whipping me around for a few days, and I want you." But also he said, I forgive you. I forgive you." You know, I learned in going through a sickness and a death with an individual, I learned that there are more than one way that the Lord requires forgiveness. Did you know that? We can tell the Lord we're sorry. We can ask Him forgiveness. But if we've hurt someone deeply, if we've deeply hurt someone, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord is going to require us to go to them and tell them we're sorry.
Yes.
This individual was on their deathbed and they had to go to them. Or they had to have them come to them and tell them that they were sorry. I don't know if I can find the scripture that the Lord gave me that day. Give me a second here. There's that over in Ecclesiastes that says, oh, Lord, help me find this.
Bless the Lord.
This is important.
Hi, Bill.
Controlling over someone else's spirit. I sure would like to make a point with that verse of scripture. I don't know why, but I can't find it here.
Is it 10 and 4? "If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses."
No, that's not it. Hmm. 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 I'll find it after I sit down, probably, or it'll come to me. I should be able to remember it. Well, I can't find it.
Say control another spirit.
He that ruleth, here it is, "He that ruleth over another to his own hurt."
Which verse?
That's
verse.
No, I haven't found it. That's the way it goes. "He that ruleth over another to his own hurt." That's amazing. Here it is. In 8 and 9, "All this have I seen, and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt." As I was dealing with this individual and knowing that they were dying, they knew they were dying, the Lord gave me that scripture and I went into their room. And they said, "Do you have something for me today?" I said, "Yes, I do." And I read that verse of Scripture. And they said, "What does that mean?" And I said, I just give a little explanation because I wanted the Lord to show them what He showed me. You know, I was called back in that room again a few hours later and they said, "Thank you, Brother Larry. I'm a dying person. Thank you, Brother Larry. I'm going to take care of this." You know, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives especially, we've got to be so careful how we treat one another.
Yeah, that's true, man.
Yes. Ruling over someone?
Yeah.
The man doesn't have a right to rule over his wife. The man is responsible to be her spiritual strength. That's his place. To be her spiritual strength that she can draw strength from him. But when you go ruling over people, you know what that does? And I talk to some of those people. You talk about bitterness. You talk about people that was holding things against this dying soul. I went to one of them and I said, "So and so wants to talk to you," and they're going to ask your forgiveness. They never told me that, but I knew that's what they were doing. And boy, did he let me know how he felt about that. What they had done. He that ruleth over another. I've seen people controlling. I've seen people that take authority that they don't have. They feel like they have authority. And they can rule over someone. And folks, you're doing damage. And the Lord showed me through all of that. He showed me through all of that. There's some things that it ain't good enough for you just to get forgiveness from me. He showed me one night, she's forgiven. She's forgiven. But then He gave me this scripture that she has some others that she's got to deal with too. And I tell you, it was remarkable what happened in that home. And it was not very long after that she went out into eternity to meet God. It was not very long. Folks, what we're taught, what comes forth from the pulpit to your hearts? I believe the brethren are sincere, caring about souls. Caring about your souls. You know, the scripture said, Paul said, as a nurse cherisheth her children. That's how much we care about your souls. And when the Word of God goes forth, it's not a time. Brother Austin Wilson said it this way. He said, "You may not like the preacher that the Lord sends, but if he tells you the truth, and it's for the benefit of your soul, you better receive it. Because that may be the only preacher you ever hear."
That's right.
Yeah. It's only... We're only going to get there with a broken and a contrite heart, folks.
Yeah.
Broken and contrite. Let's have our hearts open. Minds open. When God is blessing us with His Word, that's a blessing. Don't take it for granted.
That's right.
Don't be an independent thinker. It's a blessing when God is speaking to my soul. It's not a bad thing to find myself coming up short. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't want to come up short over there.
That's right.
But I want to come up short here.
Yes.
I'm glad that when the Lord told me that I needed to go to my wife, I'm glad I was able to take care of that here.
Yes. Amen.
I'm glad that He can still talk to me that way after all those years.
Yes.
Oh, well, I don't have to do that. I'm a preacher and I'm a husband. I don't have to do that. That hasn't got nothing to do with it.
That's right.
That doesn't have nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. We all need the Lord's help, don't we?
Yes.
We all need the Lord's help. Lord, help us to have our hearts open, our minds open, that we can receive the good seed. That it doesn't fall by the wayside, but it will bring forth fruit and have a special benefit to our souls. Folks, we need God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God.
Yes.
Let Him do the exalting.
Yes.
Let Him do the exalting.
Yes, sir.
Who do we think we are anyway?
Yes.
I'm nobody without the Lord. He said, without me, you can't do anything.
Sure.
Anybody here do anything without the Lord? No. People out there in the world today seeking and searching and going after a lot of things, but they don't realize it. They can't do anything. They can't even breathe without the Lord.
It's true.
That's right. He gives life and breath, the Scripture says, in all things. So may the Lord help us tonight. I hope we got something out of this. I hope we realize we're not just doing this because we've always done it. The saints have always done this. No, we're doing this because we're in troublesome times. And we have some needs in our souls. And I believe there's some needs here tonight. I really do. I believe there's some needs here tonight. There's some places that we need to move up to, Lord. Places I've heard it go forth before, but I pushed it aside. And the Lord's talking to our hearts tonight. He wants us to get some help. Because we don't have a promise of tomorrow. You know, I was telling someone yesterday, maybe, there's an expiration date written right up here. There's an expiration date. It's appointed unto man once to die. You know, some people won't eat food that's expired. We got an expiration date, too. And you know, I can't think of any more chilling words than to hear Him say, depart from me. I'll never need you. We hear a lot of words. We say a lot of things. Sometimes we toss them off casually. Sometimes we're very serious about it. But folks, the most chilling words that I can imagine that I don't ever want to hear is, depart from me.
Get it right.
Depart from me. Because that's final. That is final judgment. May God have mercy on you. Thank you for your time and attention.
Amen.